Well, we're in the book of 1 Peter, if you would. It's been a joy to study these things through and bring them to you as looking into the scriptures. You know, it's good for us to search out the things of God. Amen. And it amazes me how much, if you will, we kind of know, but we don't know. Does that make sense to you? And you know, you think you know something, and then well, it's kind of like words. You know, I'll think I know the definition of a word until I actually go and look it up, and it's like, whoa, I didn't realize it was that deep of a word. Like the word careful, you know, we kind of take that one for granted. We talked about that this morning, there's just things like that all through the scriptures, of course. I'll reiterate this as I often do and often say, this is my opinion that this book is not exhaustible by our human minds. That's my opinion. I don't think there's a human being that can comprehend the whole Word of God and retain all of it, if you will. It's just so expansive, if you understand that. And I just prove it this way. How many times have you read through the scriptures and you literally are staring there in disbelief saying, I didn't even know that word was in the Bible. And you've read it dozens of times, you know, and it's just because we forget things. And that's just how it is as we go along through life. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to continue on here in 1 Peter, beginning in verse 13. I'll read through the end of the chapter, verse 25. You can follow along silently. I'll read out loud. The Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but it was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We did go over verse 13 last week. And that we need to guard our minds. Gird up the loins of your mind, Peter says. He says, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to have this perseverance and this action. It's an action word, this girding up the loins of your mind. That means day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, we need to be ready for the coming of our Lord. We need to have our minds ready. And we need to protect our minds from the wiles of the devil. The devil loves to mess with your mind. He does. You know why?
Because it's an easy thing to mess with.
I say, oh, Pastor, you're calling us simple? No, I'm calling you human. Okay? Let me ask you. Isn't that a part of our, you know, being that we have a problem with? Controlling our mind. Right? I don't know if you're like me, but my mind likes to wander. You say, where does it go? I don't know. Here, there, everywhere. Is it start with a G, Brother Lowe? Is it desaltering? Or is it D? Desaltering. It's a term that is meant to talk about equine, horse riders when they move from one horse to the other. Okay? But they use it in a, right? Isn't that what it was? Kind of like the, you know, horse acrobatics, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like you might see at a circus. But they've taken that word and in language, they use it to describe a person jumping from one conversation to a topic of conversation to another, and that's what I do very frequently. So my mind wanders, right? I love the old hymn that says we're prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, right? Prone to leave the Lord I love. You understand? That's just kind of our nature. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind. He says, be sober. In other words, be aware, right? Or as Dr. Smith would always say, be alert. The world needs more alerts, right? We need to all be alert for Christ. Amen. And so we need to be sober and hope to the end for the grace, folks. What is life without hope? I mean, when you have hope, that means there's something alive there, right? There's something to look forward to. What are we supposed to be looking for? That blessed hope and glorious appearing, right? Isn't that what we got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And guess what that helps our minds to stay? It helps our minds to stay fixed on Him as well. So we need to gird up the loins of our mind. So he says that, and if you notice there at the end of verse 13, and this is why I bring that up from last week, because we did talk about this, but there's a semicolon here. Okay? So that verse 13 wasn't the end of that thought. And I know how much you love it when I bring grammar into these things, but as much as I despise grammar, it is important. Okay? It does have a purpose. One might call it one of those necessary evils. I guess you could say that. But of course, I say that tongue in cheek, by the way. All right. But it's a semicolon. So he's not done with this thought. Okay. This is not a complete sentence. The thought is not over with. There's more to be said. So he goes on and makes a comparison. He says in verse 14, as obedient children. Okay. So he just got done saying, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he says, as obedient children. So what is he talking about now? He's saying those that are girding up their minds, those that are sober, those that are hoping to the end for the grace through Jesus Christ, are what kind of people? Obedient children. So guess what? If we don't gird up the loins of our mind, what are we? Disobedient. If we are not sober and sober-minded, what are we? Disobedient. If we're not hoping to, holding forth that hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto us through the revelation of Jesus Christ, we are disobedient. Because he says this thought has a continuation. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. He said that's who you were, ignorantly. Or as I like to say, ignorantly. Okay? Ignorantly, we did this. But now we know something different. We were the children of disobedience. Now we are the children of
obedience.
So he says there's a difference. So you say, why is it so important that Peter mentions this to these Gentile believers? Because they don't have that foundation in Jehovah God like the Jews had. They don't know what it is to read the Ten Commandments and to understand what God was looking for when he was looking for things in his people. They didn't have the different ordinances and laws and festivals and times and things that God had predetermined for them to follow from generation to generation to generation. These were heathen. They had no association with those things in the past. So he's telling him, look, this new life in Christ comes with some things that you need to understand. And to be successful, to be obedient children, and you cannot afford to fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And then he goes on in verse 15 and says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, period. Okay, so finally we get a period here, all right? We get the end of this after these three verses here in Scripture. So what is being said here to these Gentile believers that are scattered out through Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia? These people that the Apostle Paul had the privilege of leading to the Lord, starting churches in these areas, and Peter's following up with them, trying to encourage them in the faith, trying to grow their faith, and trying to help get them along in the Christian life, day by day, and moment by moment, so that they can please the Lord. Folks, don't we want to please the Lord? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let me just stop for just a moment and just say, that doesn't just mean the Ten Commandments. Okay? And that doesn't necessarily mean all the commandments that Moses recorded. He's talking about living the way God wants us to live. Doing the things that God wants us to do. Being what God wants us to be. Girding up the loins of our mind. Being sober and hoping to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. That's what he wants. And he wants us to be obedient children. I already told you the stories, some of the stories about my life as a teenager. I wasn't always an obedient child. Thank you, Dad. If I've never admitted to that to you before, there you go. You have it now. But, you know, Mom and Dad would give us things to do. And I told you, you know, we lived, our house was up on a hill outside of town. And we could see the highway that kind of led to our gravel road. And so we knew we had about 2 minutes or so from the time we saw the car on the highway until it got down the road, parked in the garage, and then walked. So a lot of times we would wait as children, right? Disobedient children, self-pleasing children. We would wait to do all the list of things that Mom and Dad asked us to accomplish while they were gone until we saw their car on the highway. I know none of y'all ever did anything like that, right? And there would be this, you know, mad rush to get all these things done, right? You know, quick, you know, shake this rug or vacuum this or slide this under the bed or stuff this in a closet. You know, of course, you never have done that, right? Sweep the dirt under the rug, you know, those types of things. That's cleaning the house, right? Thank you for the dart. At least one person's like me back there. All right. But, you know, no, he says, that's not what I want you to be. I want you to be diligent children. Obedient children, with the loins of their mind girded up, and sober, and watching, and waiting, and hoping to this end, all the way to the end. Not just at certain points of time during the life, but all the way through. Persevering, if you will. So he says, we're not supposed to fashion ourselves according to the former lusts. That was in our ignorance. We didn't know any better because we were lost. We were without the light. We were without Christ. We were without the truth.
So we were just doing what lost people do. You know, don't get too mad at lost people. They're just doing what lost people do. Just like you did when you were lost too. But now we know better. Now we have new life in Christ, and we're not supposed to be like that anymore. In 1 Samuel, we're given a kind of a snapshot of this. Saul was given a command. He's supposed to go in and utterly destroy the Amalekites. And I want you to listen to what Samuel has to say here, what God has to say. Samuel speaking, it says, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord?" I mean, Samuel was confused. He said, you know, Samuel's the man of God. He said, okay, Saul, you're the king. God appointed you king. I anointed you and you know, you understood all this and for a while you've done well. But he says, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And I want you to understand the delusion that Saul was in here. Because his answer is this. And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." He says, "And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." That was his answer. He said, "Well, I did." Now, before you get too tough on Saul, think about our lives. And the things in Scripture and how God asks us to live, because I want you to take a close look at verse 15. He says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Now let's refresh our word study here. Remember, conversation doesn't just mean the vocal things that come out of your mouth. It means your life, your testimony, your lifestyle, your behavior. It includes all of those things. That's what the word conversation, it's much more complex word than you and I give it credit for. Okay? Today in American English, we just think conversation means, you know, I'm talking to you, you're talking to me, that's a conversation. No. It's much broader than that. It's your whole life. Okay? That's what your conversation is. Not just what you speak, but what you speak. Because sometimes actions are, yes, louder than words. See, you all understand. Now, Saul goes on and says this, "But the people." Now, thankfully, we have the word of God. We know that that wasn't the case. "The people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." He said, they did it for a good, the people did it, but they did it for a good reason. Now, before we get too hard on this, what is Peter asking these Gentiles to do? To gird up the loins of their mind, to be sober, to hope to the end. He says, don't be like you used to be. Be obedient, not disobedient. Fashion yourselves according to God, not according to the former lusts. He says, be holy in all manner of conversation. All areas of your life, be holy. So before we get on Saul, and we say, well, I have obeyed the Lord. I am living my life how God wants me to live it. Watch out. Are we? It's a difficult thing. So let's listen. Okay, let's go on and let's, we've got to follow this thought all the way through, because remember, I get distracted and go off on different conversations. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. It wasn't until the pronouncement of that judgment that Saul says, I have sinned. Not until that point did he admit it, that he had sinned against God. And he gives his reason, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, don't discard that portion of scripture too quickly. Isn't that where we are today? I mean, think about it. Peter's admonition to those Gentiles scattered abroad, strangers but brethren. He says, hey, as obedient children, don't you want to please the Lord? Don't you want to obey your heavenly Father? We cannot fashion ourselves according to the former lusts that was in our ignorance. We can't go back to the vomit. We can't go back to the mire and the mud. We cannot be friends with the world, because the friendship of the world is enmity against God. We cannot do these things. Romans chapter 5. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So you understand this thing of disobedience and obedience, it has to do with following Jesus Christ or not. Remember in Romans 6, Paul makes a statement, what then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. God forbid. And then he goes on to say this, and this is the key to this here, as Peter is going over this again with these people. You know, Paul shared this message with them. And he's reinforcing this to them through this message here in 1 Peter. He says, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Does that sound familiar? That's what Peter's saying, right? He says you were doing this in your ignorance. This was something that was part of your old life that you used to be, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So he says that we were this way. I lost my spot because I took my hand off my paper. Here we go. We're the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto, new word, holiness. Okay, so follow this along here. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Paul goes on to say, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto, what is it? Holiness and the end, everlasting life. And then he says the most, one of the most famous verses we use in soul winning all the time. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't forget, he said in the previous verses that we're supposed to hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is all having to do with our salvation. Because we're born again, we should live holy unto the Lord. We should yield our members as instruments of righteousness. You say, what does it mean to be holy? I just gave you the definition. It's to yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Not yielding yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 2, you know what this is. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Previously, in the earlier parts of Ephesians chapter 2 there, he says that among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is who we were. We were disobedient. We were dead in trespasses. We were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the former ignorant life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Hebrews chapter 12, or chapter 2 rather, verses 1 through 4, the Bible tells us, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He says, he goes on to say, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Paul taught, Peter reinforced, the Holy Spirit of God kept in remembrance these things to these early Christians over and over again. Is that not what we're receiving as well? Does that not help us to gird up the loins of our mind? You say, are we hearing Peter? Are we hearing Paul? Is the Holy Ghost bringing these things to our remembrance? Yes. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God, those of us that are born again, because God has given us these things so we can gird up the loins of our mind, so we can be sober, so we can hope, so we can be obedient, so we can be holy in all manner of conversation. It's possible. And that's how it should be. We shouldn't let them slip. We shouldn't yield our members to as instruments of unrighteousness to the flesh. We don't have to. But yet we choose to. And you say, again, I'm disaltering again. Let me go back to a previous thought. Remember what I was saying about Saul saying, I have obeyed the voice. God, I am a good Christian. I am a pretty good Christian. Well, but that, you know, that one thing, not so good. No, hello. That's where we are. We've got a lot of work to accomplish. You say, well, but I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do this and I don't. Well, but I do dabble in this and I do dabble in that. Let me use some good Southern word. Ain't none of us perfect. Who who's perfect? Right? I mean, as Christ is writing on the ground, right? Those guys that brought that woman in adultery. or we can use the mote and the beam illustration. We've all got a lot of work to do. How good are we at yielding our instruments as instruments of righteousness unto God? How good are we at loving Him as we should and keeping His commandments? How good are we at being holy in all manner of conversation? I'm just going to have to sit down and say, not me. I'm not very good at it. There's some manners of my conversation that aren't very good. And I'm not talking about my speech. There's areas of my life that I'm still working on. And you know what? There's probably still some areas of my life that I haven't even started working on that I probably should work on. And I'm still a young guy. I'm only 46 years old. I was laughing at the guy at the youth rally. Brother Dart and I were laughing at him. He just turned 40 and he was saying something about being old. Yeah, thank you, Brother Parks. Brother Parks is back there just laughing. You 60-year-olds, you laugh at us, don't you, Brother Parks? Yeah. My dad's almost 70. You're welcome. But this is where we are. This is where they were. This is the reality of life for all of us who are believers in Christ. Maybe some are a little ahead of others. And if that's the case, great. Stay ahead. Don't slack off just because I'm not catching up very far to you. Don't wait for me, okay? Just go on ahead. Hopefully I'll get there soon. But we need to live a life for Christ. And the Christ-filled life is a life of obedience. And we're obedient because it's the privilege that we have to obey. We get to obey God. Did you see the attitude there? I despise it when kids say, "I have to obey." And let me just rephrase that. I despise it when people say, "I have to go to church. I have to read my Bible. I have to do right." No. You get to do right. You get to obey. You get to go to church. Hey, you get to go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to get into the "I get to" life. It's a life of obedience and we get to obey. We have the privilege to obey. I don't have to be bound by the lies and the deceit and the old life and the ignorance. I've been enlightened by the light of the world. Amen. I have new life in Christ. I know what it's like to obey. I know what right and wrong is. I know the things that God wants. I can know the things that God wants. I just need to do it. And I get to do it. Not have to. Have to is a bad attitude. And honestly, I guess I'm glad that you do it if you have to, but maybe I'd rather you didn't do it if that was the case. I don't know if I want to go that far. That's how I feel about it. Because if you're going to have that attitude, maybe I don't want you doing it at all. You've heard the illustration, the story, right? About the little boy making a scene in church, right? He didn't want to obey. He didn't want to listen to his mom. And the mom looks over to him and says, "Son, you sit down right now." And the boy sits down and he's got his arms folded, right? And he looks over at his mom and he says, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Is that obedience? Maybe by the letter, but certainly not by the spirit. Think back to Saul. Saul, "I did obey. Samuel, I obeyed God. The people." You know, that's in the in the Hebrew again. And then when Samuel pronounces judgment and then calls him out for everything, that he's rejected the word of God and God rejected him from being king, then he said, I have sinned. But even in his admission of his sin, he still blamed the people. I did it because I was afraid of the people. What are you afraid of? Why don't we wholeheartedly obey God? Why don't we wholeheartedly give ourselves over as instruments unto righteousness, which is holiness? That's what the Bible says in Romans. That's the definition of it. You have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Because we've been made free from sin, we've become the servants to God, and ye have our fruit, your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. If we walk in the flesh, it's destruction. If we walk in the spirit, it's life everlasting. These are the things that God wants us to know. The Christ-filled life is a life of obedience. It is a privilege for us to follow after God. We are obedient because we get to be obedient. We get to follow the Lord. We have new life. By the way, we have life, period. You know what I think about that? I don't think life begins until you have Christ. Christ is life. The Christ-filled life is a life of holiness unto the Lord. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And then he says this, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now we're going to go on here later on in verses 18 through 21 here. And probably not this time, but next time. The level of our holiness is going to be directly proportional to the level of our reverence to God. Think about that. Just chew on that for a little bit. How much do you revere God? How much do you fear God? That's that word, fear, the fear of the Lord. That's a reverence, okay? You know about proportions. I'm not breaking too much to you on math, am I? Right? Proportions are equations set up as an equality, okay? You got, come on, math teachers, help me out here, all you math students. So, as I am more reverent to God, what's going to happen to my level of holiness? It's going to go the same direction. Okay? Because it's proportionate. So as I revere God more, I'm going to be more holy because those things are associated. As I revere God less or as I fear God less, what am I going to do less? I'm going to be less holy. Because he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we have these ebbs and flows here. And it goes with what Paul said in Corinthians. He said, doing this stuff, cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in what? In the fear of God. It's found in Leviticus where he says, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Now, I think that's a good reason, right, to be holy, because God is holy. It is a divine task for us until eternity. Well, once we hit eternity, guess what we don't have to worry about? Perfecting this thing of holiness. Why? Because we'll be like him. That's when it comes to fruition. You understand that, right? Not till then. So guess what I'm supposed to do while I'm sucking air down here? That's my rude term for breathing, right? I'm supposed to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Peter's encouraging these Gentiles. He's giving them a reason. He's giving them the groundwork for the foundation of how to be successful in Christ, girding up the loins of their mind, being sober, hoping to the end, being obedient, not fashioning themselves according to the former lusts, But as which he hath called you as holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Reminds me of, I didn't write this down, I basically have it memorized, but I don't want to mess it up. Over in Romans chapter 12. What does it say? It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is that not what Peter's talking about here? It is what Peter's talking about here. This is what our task at hand is. There are so many more passages of Scripture. I guess I have time to read a few of them. We might as well just read the whole book of Ephesians. I could do that. Let me just fast forward here. Ephesians chapter 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Remember, they were ignorant. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. He says it again. Because of the blindness of the heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off. Concerning the former conversation, there's that word again, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, oh, here's that word again, and true holiness. Ephesians 5 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. What does that mean? Obedient. As obedient children. That's what we're to do. Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's affection. Not on things on the earth. Not according to the former lusts in their ignorance. That's of this old life. That's of the life that's passed away. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's where we are. Guess what? That's where we are today. That's where all of us are in our lives today. Now remember, some of us may be a little further ahead in the race. Stay ahead, okay? Don't slow down for me. Keep on pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep increasing day by day as a follower and a believer in Christ. In some of the verses in the Old Testament, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I haven't had time to study that little phrase out, but it happens several times in Scripture. The beauty of holiness. You know, God sees holiness as beautiful. It's beautiful. It's lovely. Oh, by the way, we are going to get to this in just a little while.
in another part here, but not in 1 Peter, but in another part, you understand that whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are, you know, all that whole list, right? Whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. He talks about our minds here in 1 Peter, girding up the loins of our minds. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 96, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. This is that respect, that reverence we have for God. Psalm 97:12, rejoice in the Lord. There's that rejoice part again. We talked about that in Philippians this morning. Ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. I've often told you before that these messages are most of the time preached to your pastor before they're preached to you. You say, who preaches to you? My wife. She doesn't. I don't know if I could ever explain to you what I go through in that chair. It's scathing sometimes. I'm glad there's an altar right here. I just walk around the corner and it's right here. It's kind of nice. I don't have to go very far. Because you can make an altar anywhere. You understand that. We've got a lot of work to do. But I think it's valuable more than ever to grab hold of this concept. This thing of be holy for I am holy. In this day and time. Because you know that end that he talked about in verse 13? It's coming. It's coming quickly. Are we ready? I mean, just to be flat honest, I don't know that I'm ready for the trumpet to sound. And I'm not saying that because I have more work to do for the Lord, which I do, by the way. But just in my personal life, I'm a wreck. I think I want to challenge Paul on his claim to being the chief of sinners. I mean, just think about our lives. And don't you dare try to, well, I'm not that bad. Because you know what? Like good old Saul, I've had those thoughts. I've obeyed the Lord. What meaneth the bleeding of the sheep? The people! I was afraid of y'all. Oh, no, I mean, give it some thought. That these things in Scripture, it's not a mistake. And it so eloquently describes the situation that we're in. We've got to do better. We've got a lot of work to accomplish. Now, we have come a long way, I'm sure, from the time that you were born again. But there's a long road to go. And can I just say, without being all discouraging, let me give you some light at the end of the tunnel, amen? It's worth it all. And if I have to sing my favorite song to you, I will. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You know, it's a joy to serve the Lord, even in our shortcomings, because we have hope. Hope to the end.